CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Israel says the ceasefire is not dead after it struck nearly every city in Gaza today, accusing Hamas of violating the terms with its own attacks. It says two IDF agents died, while hospitals in Gaza report a total of 23 deaths today. Journalist and foreign affairs analyst Robin Wright telling ABC News ceasefires often have hiccups. The real test.
Creation of an interim security force, the beginning of a creation of an alternative Palestinian state so Hamas is not in political control.
Paris police have no leads, as far as we know, on four thieves who stole Napoleon-era French crown jewels from the Louvre this morning, using a lift on the back of a truck to get in. They got out on scooters. Three men died in the seventh U.S. military attack on boats in the Caribbean. Secretary Hegseth saying they were Colombian terrorists. Colombia's president said they were fishermen. This is ABC News. The Speaker of the House says the millions who took part in these No Kings rallies yesterday missed the point.
If President Trump was a king, the government would be open right now.
And why won't Mike Johnson call the House back from vacation to work with Democrats?
I refuse to allow us to come back and engage in anything until the government's reopened, when the Democrats do the right thing for the people.
Speaker Johnson on ABC's This Week, where House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries said the issue remains the expiration of health care subsidies.
Now, because of their refusal to extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits, people are confronting premiums that will double, triple, or in some cases quadruple in amount.
Austin, Texas, the U.S. Grand Prix is won by Red Bull's Max Verstappen, his third F1 victory in four races. Disgraced Congressman George Santos, now out of prison, telling CNN he's not upset about the pearl-clutching of people who think President Trump should not have granted him clemency. He says if Trump had pardoned Jesus Christ off the cross, he would have had critics. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers lost at home to Ohio State 34-0 for a second week in a row. The Badgers were shut out. Last week, they lost to Iowa 37-0. Now, the last time the Badgers lost in back-to-back shutouts was 1977. Head coach Luke Fickell asked about fans at Camp Randall Stadium chanting "Fire Fickell" again.
I know this, that it's disappointing to our kids, but it's also can be motivating as well. And that's what we got to continue to find, is the ways to motivate us intrinsically that puts a better product out there, so we don't have to worry about things like that.
Badgers linebacker Darrell Peterson on dealing with the loss.
Oh, you learn from it. I mean, we just played the number one team in the country tonight. We played some slouches. Played a great team. And they played great on offense and defense today. You got to learn from it, and you got to keep going.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. The Packers looking for their first road win this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 30 degrees. Showers are likely on Monday. It'll be blustery with a high near 59, and rain Monday night with a low of 35. Showers and breezy for Tuesday, raw with a high of 45 degrees.
Currently, 53 degrees. Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday. So Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, he's going to join us at 9:30.
Brand new time. Even more, Dan. 75% more, Dan Schaefer. Where did I get that number? I made it up.
And it costs you the same.
Free.
Absolutely free, yes. So Dan Schaefer joining us after the 9:30 news. We're going to talk certainly about the widening of I-94.
Because we need that. Folks, we need that.
We need 8 lanes. And the No Kings protest.
Correct.
Which we have spent the last couple of days talking about, largely because the reaction from the right has been
measured,
so extreme.
Measured and logical.
Right.
And, oh, my goodness. I'm really glad to see them supporting the exercising of free speech as guaranteed by the Constitution.
Yes. And toning down the rhetoric.
Oh, yes.
Yes. White House press secretary really toning things down, talking about the No Kings protest. So we will be kicking that around with Dan Schaefer after the 9:30 news. Also in hour number two, very end of the show, we'll wrap it up as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it's the I Feel the Earth Move edition.
Yeah.
Literally. So stay tuned for that. We're going to start off, though, with an article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Baylor Spears with the byline. DPI data shows general aid decreases for public school districts, increases in voucher enrollment. We've talked about this a lot. The amount of dollars, taxpayer dollars, that are being sent to voucher schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we're funding two separate school systems in Wisconsin.
And we have been for a long, long time.
DPI came out with its 2025-26 general school aid data this week. 71% of public school districts will get less general school aid this year, but over $350 million in general aid will be diverted to voucher schools. We love our public schools.
We love our public schools.
We just don't like to pay for them.
No. Well, I don't like to pay for other people's public schools.
I love my public
school. My public school is amazing.
But that one is terrible.
That one's awful. Don't.
Democratic lawmakers have repeatedly called for increasing general school aid, blaming the GOP for the numbers during a virtual press conference yesterday. Senator Jeff Smith, a Democrat from Brunswick, said this provides a harsh reality check for school districts that the state legislature, specifically the Republican-controlled state legislature, which they've controlled, this is kind of important, for 30 of the last 32 years.
Yep.
And 30 of the last 32 years, we have had Republican control of the Wisconsin legislature.
And we've gotten zero increases for general education for the most part. We got that in this last budget. I believe in the budget before that. If I'm not mistaken, if I am, please correct me. But the thing that I keep on thinking about is the fact that Robin Voss, in that upfront interview last November, when talking about the upcoming, this budget that they just signed, giving himself all sorts of congratulations on giving the largest increase to public education in a generation. Well, you gave nothing before that.
Right.
You're giving nothing, so a little isn't something to celebrate.
Well, it's 100% increase.
Yeah.
Because you gave us nothing before, so thanks. Yeah. For that.
Thank you very much for that. Pat yourself on the shoulder. Take 10 months off next year. How about this? Remember, folks, this is something I want to start making people aware of right now. They worked this year. Good job. Next year, like they do every other year, is their 10-month vacation.
Yes, that we pay for.
We pay for. They still get paid. They are off 10 months from Madison. That's a thing that happens every other year.
Now it kind of seems like the House in Washington is kind of following along the Wisconsin legislature with taking a lot of time off because thanks to Mike Johnson's unwillingness to have the House in session and swear in that new Democratic, duly elected Democratic lawmaker
from Arizona,
who will be the deciding vote to release the Epstein files. Now, rather than do that, Mike Johnson has kept members of the House at home. It was five.
5 weeks.
They've been off for the last 5 weeks.
They've been off for 5 weeks. And every time he is asked, he blames the Democrats. He blames Chuck Schumer. He says that we cannot swear in this legally elected official, congresswoman-elect, because they're out of session. Well, that's not true because they've sworn people in before.
They have.
When they were out of session.
When they were Republicans.
When they were Republicans. Oh, yeah. And Jane also, when they brought their families here.
That's right.
The families are here. So, oh, my God.
This Arizona lawmaker could bring her family.
I'll come. I'll be like, hey, I'm your cousin. Swear her in. Yeah. He has said we'll get them sworn in when they're back in business, when they've come to a deal. So now he is trying to extort like this.
Well, and the thing about that, and we're diverting a little bit here.
Sorry.
But the thing about that is the Republicans are not willing to give on anything.
No.
They're essentially telling the Democrats, sign on to this or else.
Yeah.
Sign on to this. Later, after you sign this, we'll come up with something about the ACA. Mike Johnson said yesterday they have pages and pages of a plan. Greg Bach, did you know that they have pages and pages of a plan to replace the ACA? It's just not ready to be released yet. I'm sure it's coming out in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
You're right. We did divert. That's on us.
Back to what's happening in Wisconsin.
But this is indicative of larger problems, though, when we're seeing at the state and the federal level. You want to do something about it? MyVote.WI.gov. Call your leaders and tell them that you want good schools. Tell them that maybe you're tired of paying for two school systems. If you'd like to know where your tax dollars are going, as far as how much from your school district is being diverted tax-wise to the private voucher program, to the school voucher program, I should say. That's the school voucher program. I have in our website, in our show notes, a link to the website that will take you there. You look up your county or your school district, and it will give a shocking and unyielding report to you about just how much money that you pay. This is your money, your tax dollars that should be going to your public schools is being diverted into the voucher program. And I think it's also very important, and I'm going to use this to plug something. It's Earl's show, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. He speaks to Dr. Howard Fuller, who is a Marquette. He's no longer a
emeritus.
Thank you. He is an emeritus professor in education. He is the founder of the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy. He is one of the architects of the earliest version of the voucher program that started here in Wisconsin. And that program, when you look at its roots and its history, is based in so much goodwill for young kids who needed a good education but couldn't afford it. It has morphed and devolved into something now where literally rich people are sending their kids to school for free.
On our tax dollars.
On our tax dollars.
Because that has been found that a lot of the people who benefit from this already had their kids in private and or voucher schools.
And that $350 million in the general aid that's going to be diverted to the private schools, there will be no accountability for it. There is no oversight committee. I would even start small. I'd be like, hey, start a real with teeth oversight committee that looks at all applicants for voucher schools, and they have to produce X, Y, and Z for A, B, and C. Okay, there's a start. There's nothing, no oversight whatsoever.
And that's been my problem the entire time with voucher and private schools. Yeah. If they are going to receive public monies, taxpayer dollars, and there a lot of them are religious institutions.
Yep.
If they are going to receive taxpayer dollars for education, then they should have to have the same reporting standards that public schools do. And they don't.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's wrong.
I agree. And I think more people, and it's amazing, and this isn't a critique, it's just an observation on just what's going on in our lives. How many people don't know, when you say school vouchers, they don't, it's kind of a, off in the distance, you hear about it, you know about it, you're like, yeah, I don't really know much about it. But when you tell people you are funding a second school system with your tax dollars to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Lots of money.
I think that, and then on top of that, Jane, I, who have nary a child, go to the polls and vote yes to raise my property taxes on my home so my school system can get funded. We voted no on it. I also understand that, too. At some point, the people are going to say, I'm tired of, like, I'm already paying my tax dollars in. That tax dollar money should go to the
schools. It's supposed to be going to public schools, yes.
Why am I now having to pay more in property taxes to pay for my schools? It makes no sense. And it is reflective of a GOP leadership that has done all it has to vilify, demonize the public school system, the teachers, and the students, really.
Well, they want to kill public
schools.
They
want to destroy public
schools. They've been trying to kill public education for a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda McMahon is now the head of the Department of Education. Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
And they want to destroy the Department of Education.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's long been a goal. Senator Jody Habesh-Sinkin, Democrat from Whitefish Bay, says the system that our state has been forced to adopt isn't sustainable. Instead of state funding, school districts in Wisconsin have to raise property taxes through referendum to meet their financial obligations. And this includes paying staff salaries, publishing educational materials, and building costs. And let's not forget as well that a lot of our public school teachers have to help bring in their own supplies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of them are, I mean, this is... These referendums to raise property taxes and any money that's given to the system that's, you know, funding, well, they're not funding K-5 through 12. This new budget will not fund that. It will fund private schools, but not our public schools. My point being, none of these teachers are getting rich. None of these teachers,
not by a long shot,
are buying Mercedes Benzes. None of these teachers are buying their third cottage on the lake. They are struggling, scrimping, saving. They need help and they need recognition, and we're not giving it to them because our Madison lawmakers are taking this money and diverting it into schools that should not be getting it, to people who should not be getting it. And I'm tired of voting my property taxes up. But I do because it's an investment, but I'm sick of it. And I want Robin Voss and his cohorts to get off their butts and do something about it. They won't.
They probably won't.
They love what they've done. $350 million. That's a good job.
Well, their donors will be happy.
It's the largest injection since the last time.
We'll continue this conversation, and you can join in as well at 855-752-4842. Voucher schools, public schools in Wisconsin. Who's getting the most taxpayer money? That's on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to agree October 15th with arguments that the Voting Rights Act Section 2's majority-minority voting districts conflicted with the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. A decision is expected next year. Chief Justice John Roberts signaled that the court's 2023 Milligan precedent, a very similar case, may not apply to Louisiana versus Calais. Justice Kagan later pointed out that the court rejected several similar arguments by the state of Alabama defending its discrimination. Louisiana argued that the court-mandated majority-minority districts giving minority voters an equal chance to elect the candidate of their choice puts the state in a position to discriminate against other voters. Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett both voiced support for an endpoint to sunset such opportunity districts. The court's Jingles test, used to determine if a group qualifies for such a district, was also questioned by the conservative justices. In her opening argument, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Janae Nelson said that should the court strike down Section 2, it would be, quote, a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos. There are 148 VRA majority-minority districts in 28 states, according to Ballotpedia. We've linked a transcript of the arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, joining us after the 9:30 news. One of the many things we will be talking about with Dan will be the roads. I-94.
More Dan today, and more roads in Milwaukee.
And more lanes. So yeah, we're going to talk about that. Also, the Nope Kings protest. And, those naughty boys. 31, 32, 35 years old. We'll be talking about those rascally boys in their chat, just being boys, yeah, apparently. So that and much more on the way with Dan Schaefer after the 9:30 news. But we've been talking about the amount of tax dollars that Wisconsin taxpayers pay for vouchers, mm-hmm, and voucher schools instead of public schools. Department of Public Instruction out with data on the costs of the voucher programs. So the cost for Wisconsin's voucher program for 2025-2026, $700.7 million. About $360 million of that cut from general school aid to go towards private voucher schools.
We got a text from Marlene listening in Waukesha right now. Said, please address the fact that some, quote, voucher schools, unquote, are owned by for-profit companies such as National Heritage Academies that run the schools with taxpayer funds and provide incomes to their owners. So, yeah, they're enriching themselves off of our tax dollars.
Oh, yeah.
With no oversight, none whatsoever. And here's the thing that, for me personally, that sickens me the most of all of this is they can take voucher money, they can admit a student, and if that student doesn't adhere to their whatever their handbook, whether they are queer, whether they're trans, whether they are something else that doesn't fit in their milieu, they can throw them out with no questions asked and keep the money.
It's nice how that works.
This is a grift. This is a dodge. This is the biggest. This is offensively bad to me. I hate this because it is literally, once again, taking the idea of Dr. Howard Fuller of Milwaukee and some other individuals, a very simple idea. Let's help some poor kids get an education.
Which is what they were intended for.
It's going to be tough. There'll be discussions. It's a very big ask, but now it's not even an ask. The GOP and Madison are just taking
$700 million.
$700 million of our taxpayer money from our general school aid to private schools. I don't know why this isn't on the headlines every night of a huge. You want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse? Let's start there. Let's just start right there.
Well, again, I don't understand why, if we are giving them public money via our tax dollars, why they do not have to follow the same kind of requirements that public schools, who also receive our tax dollars, mm-hmm. have to have.
Yeah.
That, why are there two different systems involved? That seems wrong.
This seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem like a person who would do this would have a good education and can do math and long term. It's just...
Well, and in the meantime, we are still having problems attracting teachers.
Ah, but MPS, Jane, has a fix.
MPS, this from Lori Linan in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. MPS now offering $1,000 bonuses for retired teachers to come back. There are 83 teaching jobs still open at MPS over a month into the school year. So they're trying to lure back retired teachers by offering them a $1,000 bonus. Again, I go back to blaming Scott Walker, who demonized mm-hmm. teachers yeah. under Act 10. The vitriol and horrible things he said.
Takers, not makers.
Oh, that's right. They're takers.
Moochers.
And I don't think that's changed, and I don't know why anyone at this point would choose to go into education.
If this was a $1,000 bonus to bring people who were teachers who left back into it, but I know retired teachers, you couldn't bring them back with $10,000. They retire for a reason. They work their butts off for decades, yep. some of these individuals.
Yep, 20, 30 years.
And they retire proud, but they retire tired. And I don't think $1,000, which, by the way, $1,000 and you guarantee I don't have to use that money to pay for my school supplies, too. There you go. I mean, this is just backwards thing, especially from a school district that we just gave $272 million to last year in, wait for it, a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is such backwards thinking. And this is the challenge I want to lay down to all of these people running as Democrats in the next election for Senate, Assembly, and for governor. If you get your trifecta, which I know you talk about a lot, which makes me sick to my stomach to think about, just because that's a lot of confidence. I don't understand confidence like that. But if you get that, is one of the first things you're going to do, look at this system and change it to amend the budget in a budget repair bill, or just say in the next budget, we are going to severely slash voucher school funding. We're going to take that money and put it back into our schools. I want to know that.
Okay, then.
Sorry, I'm a taxpayer.
Send your emails to Greg via Calvin. We'll make sure it gets to him.
At Calvin. There it is.
At Calvin.com. News is coming up next. And then when Dan Schaefer joins us, we'll start with talking about expanding four whole miles of I-94 in downtown Milwaukee. It's only several billion dollars. Okay, maybe I got that number wrong. We'll clarify on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going down. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Israel says the ceasefire is not dead after it struck nearly every city in Gaza today, accusing Hamas of violating the terms with its own attacks. It says two IDF agents died, while hospitals in Gaza report a total of 23 deaths today. Journalist and foreign affairs analyst Robin Wright telling ABC News ceasefires often have hiccups. The real test:
creation of an interim security force, the beginning of a creation of an alternative Palestinian state so Hamas is not in political control.
Paris police have no leads, as far as we know, on four thieves who stole Napoleon-era French crown jewels from the Louvre this morning, using a lift on the back of a truck to get in. They got out on scooters. Three men died in the seventh U.S. military attack on boats in the Caribbean. Secretary Hegseth saying they were Colombian terrorists. Colombia's president said they were fishermen. This is ABC News.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers lost at home to Ohio State 34-0 for a second week in a row. The Badgers were shut out. Last week, they lost to Iowa 37-0. Now, the last time the Badgers lost in back-to-back shutouts was 1977. Head coach Luke Fickell asked about fans at Camp Randall Stadium chanting "Fire Fickell" again.
I know this, that it's disappointing to our kids, but it's also can be motivating as well. And that's what we got to continue to find, is the ways to motivate us intrinsically that puts a better product out there, so we don't have to worry about things like that.
Badgers linebacker Darrell Peterson on dealing with the loss.
Oh, you learn from it. I mean, we just played the number one team in the country tonight. We played some slouches. Played a great team. And they played great on offense and defense today. You got to learn from it, and you got to keep going.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. The Packers looking for their first road win this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 30 degrees. Showers are likely on Monday. It'll be blustery with a high near 59, and rain Monday night with a low of 35. Showers and breezy for Tuesday, raw with a high of 45 degrees.
It's 51 at our studios.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local No Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, he joins us on Fridays, civic media political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm here, Jane. Hello.
Glad to have you in studio. Always lovely to have you.
It's a great way to end the week on a Friday. Coming here to be here with you all fine folks on Matt Nair on Air in Racine, recombobulating on the week that was.
That's the week that was.
Wow. Yeah.
What a week it was.
What a week.
Before we get to some of the national stuff, I wanted to talk about the, because I know you're very excited about this.
Oh, sure.
The widening of a, 3.5 mile section of I-94 that's going to cost a whole bunch of money. 3.5-mile project will rebuild the aging freeway between North 16th and 70th Streets and complete a replacement of the stadium interchange. The six-lane roadway will be expanded to 8 lanes. Construction expected to last through 2033.
2033, Jane.
The initial work area is $121 million. The initial work area.
Yep. I've probably written more words about this project than anyone in Wisconsin media.
That's why you win awards.
I have had a lot to say about this. I really hate this project. I really think it is so misguided in so many ways. We do not need to widen highways. It does not work anywhere. I don't know if you want Milwaukee's roadways to look like Los Angeles or Houston,
or
some of these cities that have these massive lane extensions going through the middle of the city. There is not an example of this working anywhere. I asked some of the supporters about, like, where's an example that you would look to as, you know, where does it work where widening the highway in the middle of the city? And this stretch that you talked about from 16th to 70th is in the middle of the city in Milwaukee. People live close to, and it's, people drive it every day, but people live close to this highway too.
Yes.
And so this is going to be disruptive for the people in the footprint of the highway. It's going to be extraordinarily expensive. It's going to have another major interchange and a stretch of highway that has so many major interchanges going through it. And now they have it scheduled to finally begin this extended project to widen the highway. It's going to begin as soon as the Brewer season ends, basically. Oh, so it's going to begin the first week of November. And it is, you know, I don't know if even, you know, they made the announcement this week that this was going to happen with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. You know, I don't know if Tony Evers is going to be there for some sort of groundbreaking or something like that. I have to imagine if he does, it's going to get protested by some of the folks that I've talked to in my coverage about who are very much opposed to the widening here. You know, and 8 years, like, that's the minimum. That's the optimistic
view of this. We know it will take
longer. Yes, because,
like,
we just lived through the zoo interchange reconstruction, which went way longer than they initially planned. And I feel like in some cases is kind of still going because they're still doing some of the construction and a few of the, you know, kind of interchanges just north of the large interchange.
Right.
But yeah, so for those who might not know, I wrote an extended series on this now 4 years ago called Expanding the Divide. It is a multi-part series on the future of I-94, that one won several Milwaukee Press Club awards. And also, you know, we tied in a number of other things kind of with that and, you know, I think really raised the salience of this issue in a lot of different ways. You know, obviously the outcome is not one that we wanted, but I just I think there's so much to this project, and now we're going to, I don't want to be the guy that says I told you so for 8 years that this is going to be a bad project, but I think, you know, both Democrats and Republicans were supportive of this. Governor Evers' office was supportive of this. Legislative Republicans were supportive of this. I guess the one thing that they can agree on in Wisconsin is that we need to give the Department of Transportation as much money as they want, especially if it screws over Milwaukee residents.
Well, and who get? I mean, who are, because they subcontract this to a road crew? Mm-hmm. Is that the Michaels Corporation?
It very well could be. Yeah. I mean, they have like this low bid, kind of process with that. So if you know, it often is the Michaels Corporation because they can make those bids. But yeah, it's that this is the one thing that we've decided that always will. There's always money in the banana stand. Yeah. There's always money in WISDOT. There's always money for WISDOT.
And speaking of this project, right now has a price tag of $1.74 billion.
Mm-hmm. And that has grown significantly since they initially proposed it in 2020.
And this is 3.5 miles.
Yeah.
3.5 miles.
Well, and the thing I feel like, I mean, there is so much to break down when it comes to this because it's frustrating because we have so many interchanges just in that short from that Wauwatosa, Milwaukee border at the zoo, all the way down to Summerfest. There are so many interchanges. All of them are not good. And mm-hmm. they keep on thinking that let's redo it and try again. And maybe that will be the fix. No, it's not the fix. And we know, like right now in Milwaukee, when you're heading southbound, there's a bunch of, it feels like everything's under construction again.
This is the thing. It never ends with these road construction. We paid, I think, over $500 million to redo parts of I-43. Mm-hmm. North of it, there's this $1.7 billion, which I'm sure will be north of $2 billion by the time this project is done. This to reconstruct this freeway and it, you know, it strikes me as something that's kind of funny about this as well, is that there's also this debate happening in Milwaukee about the future of the streetcar, because one of the aldermen said, hey, we just need to stop funding this. That's $4 million a year for the streetcar that the city pays for it. It is 0.2% of the city's annual budget.
It's minuscule.
It's a rounding error, right. Almost. And at the same time, there is going to be more outrage over the city spending $4 million on a streetcar project than the state of Wisconsin spending $2 billion to widen the highway in a place where it absolutely is not needed.
This is a question I'm sorry I didn't ask you sooner because I'm sure we get the numbers. But if you think about from when Scott Walker got into office and we started widening 94, that huge project that was supposed to take 10 years, it didn't. How much money has Wisconsin paid just in major road, not all of them, but just the interchanges, the widenings, all of these major projects? How much has Wisconsin paid for that? And what have we gotten out of it? I mean, we've got wider roads. Great. I still get stuck in traffic. That was the whole thing. It's like, with wider roads, there'll be more. It'll move faster. No, there's still going to be. If there's an accident, you can have 12 lanes on a side. It's still going to be a mess. I don't understand. We talked about this on the air once, just you and me. And it just feels like every time, like, why can't we live in 2025? Engineering is a marvel. They have tons of examples on which to base their designs. Why do they have designs and then say, we got it wrong, let's do it again? Why can't they nail it the first time?
Because they don't consider the actual alternatives, and they are just locked into this plan of road widening.
We've always done it this way.
We've always done it.
We've always done it this way.
Right, Jane.
Yes. 855-752-4842. Especially if you drive that section of 94, we would love to hear from you. We're talking about I-94 from 16th up to 70th. Mm-hmm. That section, which is like you said, it's right in the middle of the city. Mm-hmm. It is narrow. My problem with this, people drive like maniacs the way it is now. Mm-hmm. The speed limit from AmFam Field all the way down east is 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one drives 50.
No.
If you drive 50, you're going to die. So we're going to widen it to 8 lanes. So now people can drive 90. That's going to be great. That's really going to help everybody.
And the thing too is that I do think it's funny that like the speed limit in Milwaukee County on the freeway is is 55 and everybody is going at least 70. And then you get into Waukesha County and the speed limit is 70 and everybody's going 55.
Yes. Blue Mound Road is a whole nother discussion.
Oh my God.
Blue Mound Road is a whole nother discussion.
It's suburban Fast and Furious. My God.
Christy in Eau Claire texting in says, why is road construction worth more than fixing lead pipes in Milwaukee?
There's a great question.
That's a good question.
The question I have, I asked you when you first brought this to me, because it's not just the 94 project. They're also going to be starting the massive National Avenue project as well, which, I mean, I don't even want to come to Milwaukee anymore. But what is this going to do when we're widening these roads? What is it going to do to the housing, to the people who live in that area? Is it, I mean, I don't imagine it's going to knock homes down, but it's going to change the landscape of things.
Well, aren't those cemeteries still in the way?
Yeah, so there's a cemetery right near the Holly Road exit.
Yep, and great that, big cemetery.
Military cemetery.
Yes. Yeah. They can't move any of that. Scott Walker administration proposed moving some of that when they initially proposed this I-94 project back in the 2010s. That didn't end up happening. They scrapped those plans. They kind of started fresh when Tony Evers was governor with proposing this in 2020. But it is also going to make it really narrow because they can't move that. So they're just basically, it's just going to have no shoulder in those areas pretty much going through. So that is not going to be a great driving experience going through there. And that is right in there. That is right near the stadium interchange, which they are redoing in a really significant way. They initially proposed like this triple decker, like huge ramp thing. And then a bunch of us who were at these public meetings saying, why do we possibly need to do things this way? So they scaled it back to a different way. Saved $80 million in the process, so good on, you know, those of us who were
right.
showing up to try to advocate for a different solution. But they're going to have this, like, diverging diamond interchange, which I also think people are not going to really like all that much. And then there's also the connection to the stadium freeway, which is this unresolved project, which is somehow not connected to this, because I think it all needs to be one project.
Yes.
If we're going to reimagine the stadium freeway along with the stadium interchange, like making these two separate projects also doesn't make sense. If you get into any of the weeds on this project, so much of it does not make sense.
Yeah.
So much of it does not hold muster in public scrutiny, and they just like they're just going along with it.
Well, and you mentioned when I think about the stadium interchange, there is an on-ramp onto eastbound 94 from Holly Road.
Yeah.
That is the shortest joining ramp.
Yep.
It's so dangerous.
They're getting rid of that entirely,
it's so
actually.
So dangerous.
Yeah. Right. They're not replacing it with a safer ramp. They're getting rid of the eastbound ramps entirely from Holly.
The question I'll pile on with Christy that we can't answer right now is with 15 years, well, now let's say 20, 25, 30 years of construction between 2010 and whenever it's done, how much of any of that money could have been diverted to create a sustainable public transit system in Milwaukee, or at very least make the buses better? Billions of dollars to get people on the roads. We could have a train of some sort, or a better, a more extensive hop, something. No, it's got to be roads. And it's because of the lobbies. I went through this with my boss in 2009 with the expansion project. We need better mass transit, and we could get the money, but they want to spend it on roads.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the discussion. Richard and Tom, I see you. We'll take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in the Philippines on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about the $1.74 billion West Leg segment of I-94 that they're going to be starting November 3rd. Planned long-term closures include one lane in each direction, the Hawley Road interchange, southbound 175, 68th Street ramp to eastbound 94, the ramp from 175 to Frederick Miller Way. That's going to screw me up in the morning. Yes, and so it's going to start and last until 2033. So if you'd like to join us at 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha has been very patient. Good morning, Richard. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I think the people are going to have to start thinking about stacking lanes above. You know, the invention of the high-rise is a economical invention, and you could either put buses or trains up above, and it creates more footage for less cost.
Well, as Dan said, they entertained the idea of a triple-decker thing, and it ended up being not feasible. And
yeah, so the Scott Walker's administration proposed this like double-decker version of the expansion of this freeway, and it was far, far more expensive Than it would be to just widen the lane and all of that, or to not widen the lane, also less expensive. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. You know, so I think we should be more open to creative solutions, though, than mm-hmm. just saying, "Well, widen we've always done it this way. Let's widen it. It's never worked anywhere, but maybe it'll work here.
This time will be different." Yeah. Right. Tom from West Dallas. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning, everyone. I'll try and make this quick. I got a few points. First, back when they were widening 43, Earl had talking about this. And basically, I told him all that widening 43 is going to do is get people who live in Mequon home about 5 minutes quicker.
Yeah.
All that money being spent. And they're still working on that thing. And it drives me insane when I go down either 41 or 43 and I see nothing happening, or I see maybe three people working on it. For that kind of money, I-94, the amount of money they're spending, they should be working on that 24/7.
It's
such a major artery, and to close it down and screw it up for that long, how much commerce is lost by truckers and people who have places to be having to be held up in traffic because they're just sputtering around on all that. That drives me insane. And real quick, about, you were talking about rail and all that. There is an abandoned rail line just south of 94. There's no reason, it's a bike path. Now, there's no reason why they couldn't utilize that and run that, starts up over by UPS on Blue Mountain Road. You could run that all the way down that way with parking and everything, and run that right down to Canal Street and right down to the intermodal station. There's no reason why that couldn't be, because it goes past the stadium, it goes past everything. All these attractions they could run by, and people would use it, even to get to a Brewers game.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Tom. We really appreciate it.
We have what we spend money on. If we spent $2 billion on rail in Milwaukee, people would have options to use rail or buses.
Remind me who killed the rail project. That'd
have been Scott Walker.
Yeah. That was Scott Walker. Well, that's right.
And Tom brings up a good point, too. You're going to have the 94 project. You're going to have that smaller project. You're going to have the national project. And 41 is still under construction.
Yep.
Like, there is so much happening in Milwaukee County. It's going to be, it's going to be impossible. And this project during the Brewers season?
It's going to be a nightmare. That's why they're stopping it. That's why they're waiting to start it until after the season.
Yeah,
now.
But even so, we're looking at 2033. This is going to be around for a really long time. Yeah. And it wasn't until I was actually reading all of these closures that I'm thinking, geez, I leave for work right now at 5:45. I'm going to have to leave at 5:15.
I'm moving to Racine.
Yes, but Jane, in 8 years, your commute will be 5 minutes shorter.
Well, it's all worth it then.
Guys, just go with me here.
In 8 years, people from Waukesha can get to Milwaukee 5 minutes shorter on their commute. That's the biggest problem that Milwaukee faces.
Because, you know,
is Waukesha shortening the average commute time, which is not particularly long as it is, from 25 minutes to 20 minutes.
And
that's the biggest
Waukesha
problem Milwaukee faces. Not crime or education disparities or lack of public investment in transportation. Not all of those other things. No, our biggest issue is commute times. For suburban commuters.
Look at the lobbyists.
That's exactly what
it is.
Yes.
Well, follow the money.
Exactly what it is.
It's always about follow the money. And
the guy, actually, I interviewed the guy who was the lead advocate for this at the MMAC, and since getting this project passed, he became the lead lobbyist for the road builders.
Shocking.
The revolving door of lobbyists.
Yep. Shocking.
Yeah.
What a great job.
Should be a lobbyist. I can talk to people and get things done. Mm-hmm. I love lots of roads.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, there's an article in the Cap Times that we're going to kick around. Also, the Nope Kings rally, which is set for tomorrow. One side seems very, very upset about this. I wonder why.
Do you think they'll have a Yes Kings rally?
No, a Yas Kings.
No, it'll be Please King. Please King. Stay with us.
Bring your boots.
Ugh. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The California Highway Patrol reports a mishap during a live fire demonstration presided over by Vice President J.D. Vance at Camp Pendleton. ABC's Alex Stone.
The CHP says metal shrapnel from an artillery round that was fired over the freeway prematurely detonated and hit and damaged a CHP vehicle that was part of the effort to close down the freeway. Following the incident, the CHP says the Marine Corps canceled additional live ordinances over the freeway.
The show of force happened the same day as anti-Trump rallies across the country, which Speaker Mike Johnson calls Hate America rallies. About the government shutdown, he told ABC's This Week he's waiting for Democrats to end it. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries said,
"We haven't heard anything from Donald Trump or the Republicans over the last few weeks. They have gone radio silent."
And he warned that Obamacare premiums are about to double, triple, even quadruple. This is ABC News. We're told some